This is the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Come get your hands dirty while we learn the nitty-gritty of leading others the way Jesus did. This is Discipleship Dissected on Coach and Joe.
Welcome to the Coach and Joe Podcast. I'm here with Michael Thornton, a good friend, covenant brother, powerful man in God, someone who has played a tremendous role in what God's doing here at Bridgeway. You sent me a podcast last night, or Amber, your wife did, on something that Corey Russell recently taught at Upper Room.
Yes.
Well, this right here, Michael, is a podcast designated for leaders. And Corey transitioned from IHOP over to Upper Room not too long ago. And he said something. He said, there's a move coming. I'm laughing because we've been saying this language here for a long time. There's a move coming to the church in America that's up, in, and out. Describe those three things. What is up? What is in? What is out?
Mm-hmm. So up, obviously, is the connection with the Father. It is intimacy. It is getting so close to Him and Him getting so close to you. It is what we've been talking about here is the bridegroom revelation. I mean, where we draw so close to Him and we get so oily. The in part, you know, the in is what we've been talking about, the culture of discipleship. It is the community. It is the disciple-making process. The Lord has put a heavy word on your heart, the community's heart, to raise up disciple-makers. So we have really been walking through a culture of discipleship that looks like revival, not just in the church, but in the home, in the marketplace. And the out is the expression. It's the going out of the four walls. And how are we seeing this spill over into the streets?
I was at Disney World a couple years ago with my wife. I began to tear up walking into a park. We started praying together, and I said, Father, I cannot pastor just a white church that stays in the walls. Mm-hmm. I can't do it, but I don't know how to get outside the walls. And I told Wendy, she's my witness to this. I said, the Father just showed me He's bringing Michael Thornton here, and He's going to be a part of getting us out of our walls. Well, it's already happened. We are in partnership with Disciples Church, a Latino community that has many connections around Greenville, specifically Berea. God's doing a lot of stuff with Bridgeway to Berea. Our food pantry here is just growing by the day. What I've been crying out for, and I didn't know how to do it, and nor did I think I had the competency to do it. I had the courage to, but I just didn't know how. I said, God, I cannot just be up, up, and up. I can't.
Yeah.
I had to be up, in, and out. Now, you know the passion that I care for discipleship.
Yes.
At the core of my being. Michael, 5 years ago, I began to prophesy from this stage that God was coming to rebuke and to correct His charismatic stream. 5 years ago, I began to say that there is a judgment on the charismatic stream. This is what I said. There is a celebrity spirit that has risen in the charismatic stream that not only is God not happy about, He's furious with. Well, shocker, many people began to leave Bridgeway. They thought I was too harsh. They couldn't swallow it. Chad just needs a love encounter. He just needs a love encounter with the Father. I've written two published books on the Father's love. I really love the Father. The Father disciplines those He loves. Mm. In the past month, we have seen the biggest debacle in the prophetic movement maybe ever. There have been, I don't know how many prophets declared that Donald Trump would be president of the United States of America. Mm. I came to you a while back, and I said, I sought the Father. I'm a man.
Yes.
I'm not the man, but this is a podcast that I'm leading, and I had accountability to the word I released. I told you, I said, the Father has shown me that this is a humbling season for His prophets.
Yes.
Whenever this is up, 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 whenever we're in any stream that's up, up, and up, and there's no discipleship, and there's no out, this kind of stuff can happen. We have seen some prophets get so low and humble and say, man, I missed it. One of those is Jeremiah Johnson. Mm. Jeremiah will be at Bridgeway here in a couple of months hosting his annual event for his partners. He was here not too long ago. I was really stirred by his humility.
Yes.
Other prophets are continuing to say that they're right. I call it delusional. Not some of these charismatics are bashing people like Jeremiah or Chris Valentin for saying they're sorry. When I'm going, good night, man. Denial. This is what denial can look like.
Yes.
My point is this, Michael. Up, up, and up cultures are not healthy. There's been a lack of accountability in the prophetic movement, and now I personally believe that the hand of the Father is actually literally humbling so many of these prophets. What have you seen? Because the potential of this is incredible damage to the prophetic movement.
Absolutely.
What have you seen? This has been tumultuous. This has been chaotic. The Capitol just got stormed. It has been fighting for the last, 4 years since Trump. It started before then. There's been left and right fighting. But today I'm specifically talking about the prophets. How can so many prophets be wrong, Michael?
What a loaded question. I don't know. Chad, I don't know if I have an answer for that question. I don't know how they could all be wrong. It is one of the most difficult times and seasons to interpret. I believe that. I believe we had that conversation, and I was telling you that, especially where things are in our nation right now. I am reminded, though, I share with you a word that I think Chuck Pierce released a few days ago, or it was longer than that. And I just love what Chuck said. And he was saying that he really went to prayer about this election. And he prefaced it with that God gave him a word that President Obama would be elected. And it cost him dearly when he did it. He said he lost a lot of friends over it. And obviously, President Obama became elected president. He said in this election, when he prayed, he didn't get anything. There was no answer. All he got was a date. And it was January 18th. And the Lord said to him, something significant would happen January 18th. But I look at that story and it was encouraging for me, because being in the prophetic movement, being a part of this stream, it really is discouraging to see that so many prophets missed it.
Where do we go from here? I've been in the prophetic stream for quite a while, filmed with Darren Wilson in a couple of his documentaries. Have met and done life with a lot of people in the prophetic stream. I'm sorry, but I'm sitting here saying this. You're not just going to say, hey, you know, sorry about that, missed that one.
Yeah.
You have 15 to 20, that's being conservative, known prophetic voices that were dead wrong.
Yes.
That's not even my point. My point is watching some of these leaders and how they are stewarding this. Is a debacle.
Yeah.
Now, I would be accused and called, man, Chad, you just don't have faith. Faith for what? Somehow something shifted where Donald Trump became people's idols.
Absolutely.
What in the world? Since when did we ever expect some political figure to solve any spiritual problems? Michael, what is your assessment on the Spirit-filled stream? Really, throughout the last 4 years of this journey, what has surfaced? What do you see? Where do we go from here? I am a charismatic. Words of knowledge are probably the highest gift I walk in. I'm not turning my back on the prophetic. I'm just sitting here looking at a stream going, let's see how leaders respond to being so wrong. Where do we go from here?
I think to really assess that question is you just look at what this has exposed. So although we may not know exactly why they all got it wrong, we do know that there's been several things exposed. I think one of the things that's been exposed is there's really not been a fear of the Lord in the charismatic prophetic stream. And there's been a very, very minimal level of accountability. And so over time, I think people can just say, hey, I have the word of the Lord. I have the word of the Lord. I have the word of the Lord. And you see it on Facebook. You see it on social media. People are using their platforms. But there's really no accountability. Is that really the word of the Lord? And so I think this has really shaken the whole movement. And I think one of the major reasons why is, like you said, it's really brought humility. And I think moving forward, prophetic voices are really going to have to ask themselves, God, do I really have the word of the Lord before I release it?
Can we talk about accountability? Because not only am I not judging these people, I don't think that I'm better than anyone. I'm sitting here asking, okay, what can I do to put some safeguards in my life? Because I want to finish well. I wrote my journal this morning. I just, Father, open my eyes to what I can put in my life to help me finish well. Passion's overrated, Michael.
Yes.
Atomic Habits is underrated. What are my habits that I'm putting in my life? What are the safeguards? How can we, this is a podcast for leaders, what does accountability look like? How can we learn from this? I don't want to be a person that doesn't learn from other people's mistakes. What does it look like in your life?
Well, accountability in my life looks like being under submission to leadership. It's being connected in community. And let's say I have something that I'm struggling or wrestling through, I can bounce it off of you. because right now in this stage of my life, I'm submitted here under your leadership, under the leadership of Bridgeway Ascent. So if I personally have something that I'm struggling with or wrestling through, my first thought is, well, I have a leader. I can release this to him. Let's see what God's saying to him about it. I just think that really keeps things accountable. So we have to have communities, pockets, fellowships, connections where leaders are accountable to other leaders.
You know what one word shows me that someone's willing to go into community and submission? Humility.
Yes.
Satan specializes in isolation. Mm. I had a conversation yesterday with Susan Thompson. She's an editor that's working on a couple of books for me. And I got a conversation coming up with Destiny Publishing about releasing a couple of books. And I just said, Susan, you've worked on a couple of books of mine now. I said, what do you think, after reading two of my books, what do you think the Father has for me? And she said, I feel like you're called to be a voice of correction in the Spirit-filled stream.
Wow.
I think we're in a time of reformation, Michael.
Yes.
God loves charismatics. He hates rebellion. Mm. And he hates isolation. And somewhere along the way, God began to pour out himself and gift so many huge leaders, men and women in Spirit-filled church. But if you read the book God's Generals, 18 of the 20 many biographies, they end poorly.
Yes, they do.
And you know there's a recipe to it, isolation, no accountability, and pride.
Wow. Well, you know, it's so funny. We actually just did an Ascent class and talked about this very topic. So we actually talked about what is the common theme in the God's Generals, where they missed it. And the common theme they all had was they walked out of their calling. At some point in their life, walking with God, they walked out what God originally wanted them to do in pursuit of the stage, in pursuit of fame, in pursuit of popularity. And it cost them. It cost them ministries. It cost them really severely. But that was the common theme, that they had walked out of their calling.
My wife and I, we support Jeremiah Johnson's ministry. Jeremiah Johnson, to be such a young man, has an enormous gift in the body of Christ. Mm. I've never been more proud of someone that I know of how they stewarded what he just stewarded. When I saw how the charismatic church responded to him on social media, it made me embarrassed to call myself a prophetic charismatic. I was embarrassed. I have never seen that level of infancy, selfishness, denial, and flat-out deception in my life.
Man.
And so what I'm saying is this. In my opinion, prophetically, what the Father's been showing me for 5 years now is a judgment was coming for the Spirit-filled stream. I began to say 3 years ago, this went over really well, that God was going to yank itinerant ministries from the hands of people left and right. I'm going to tell you this, the world's looking at us right now, and the way that a lot of charismatics are stewarding this, it is an absolute joke. People won't take us serious at all. For me, I've been in 1 and 2 Samuel for quite a while, teaching a class on it here at Ascent at our school. To me, a lack of humility is a recipe for hell to invade my life.
Absolutely.
Why is it, Michael, that when a leader drops a ball, Lord knows I have, why is it so hard to step into humility with Abba? Remember when David was caught?
Mm-hmm.
Nathan comes. He immediately goes low. Have you seen some of these leaders? Like, I guess they think that they're even saying, even if Trump's not elected president, God's going to remove Biden and Trump will step in there. It's like, what are y'all talking about?
You know, in the days of Azusa Street, they said that when they went to Azusa, it said, preachers died the hardest. That was the statement. It said, preachers always died the hardest because they had a lot more to die to. They had a lot more theology, a lot more prophecy, a lot more.
I've never heard that.
Yep. And so they had all these things they had built over the years, but all of it had to die. So the more they had accumulated, the more God was requiring on the altar. And it was very hard for them to die. Here's something else that's really hit me right now. I feel like this, where the current prophetic stream is for us, is exactly similar to what the Corinthian church was in Corinthians. For example, when Paul addressed the Corinthians, there was a lot of issues. There was a lot of celebrity spirit going on. Remember, hey, some were following Apollos, some were following Caiaphas, some were following Paul. They were gravitating to their favorite speaker, to their favorite leader, and missing the whole point about Jesus. And so Paul comes to correct them. He comes to clean up the stream in Corinthians. And he says, listen, the major root of your problem is you got 10,000 teachers, but you don't have any fathers.
Can I ask you this? Well, I tell you this. One of the reasons I trust you a lot, when we started this podcast off, I asked you, what do you think about it? And you said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't ever trust a leader that always has an answer to every question. Sometimes you got to say, you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this? Where are the fathers?
Man.
Where are they? I just taught a class at Ascent, and I said the biggest problem in the world is a fatherless problem.
I Chad, with everything in me, I believe this is a big root. This is the root of the whole problem in the stream. When I believe you were sharing that word that lady gave you about God was going to use you to, I love how she said it, to mature the charismatic and the prophetic stream.
You know what I'm learning? Maturity has nothing to do with journey or age. It has everything to do with accepting responsibility for where I am,
yes,
and who I'm not, and then taking steps to correct that. So let me repeat that. A lot of people think, well, maturity is age. No, it's not. Some of the most immature people I know are 60 years old.
Yep.
Maturity is accepting responsibility in my own life and walking that out. Mm-hmm. You were a crackhead. You were a drunk, Michael. Michael Thornton, the old you, is now dead and gone. You're now in Christ. You were a drug dealing, headed for hell, Lord knows what. You know what happened? You went to rehab. And yes, you had an encounter with Jesus, undeniable. But you also took responsibility.
Absolutely.
You went to a Bible school. You met your wife. God said, now go to Regent. You went to Regent. There's something about celebrity spirit ministers that we can isolate. We can not have any accountability, do what we want to do, when we want to do, how we want to do it. And every once in a while, the Father will reform something. And when He reforms, it hurts. It stings. By the way, reformers typically get killed.
Yes.
Because nobody wants to hear what needs to be reformed.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's what goes in history.
It's a move of fathers.
It's a move of fathers.
Yesterday, you and me were on a Zoom with David Fritch.
Yes.
He wrote the book Enthroned. And you were telling him why you moved here. The up is great. That end piece, brother, it's got connection and spiritual authority in it.
Yes.
There's submission to fathers. Why is that burning so on you? When did God begin to show you the end piece and why it matters?
It's huge. It started in North Carolina when I was there, and then it transitioned more into here. The reason why it matters to me the most is because I understand the value and the importance of spiritual authority and being in alignment. And a lot of times in our culture, it's become such a bad word, a bad terminology, because it's been abused or mishandled by other leaders. But the reality is it's beautiful because there's so much blessing and benefit and honor from the kingdom that flows through it. God taught me that in North Carolina. When Amber and I came into alignment and we brought our ministry underneath Pastor Tom of Global River, what began to happen, what God showed us, well, things began to take off, number one, for us. The second thing was that church was under an apostolic covering of Global Awakening. And so it's a flow down. And so what the fathers are walking in begins to flow down to the sons and the daughters. And there's a huge alignment. There's a benefit. It's like me having five children. You know, my kids, they come in and out of the house, but because they live under my roof, they have the benefit and the blessing and the protection of me as their father. It's no different with us in ministry and in church.
Is that something you chose into? Did it fall on you? Because even when you were at Global River, where did you get the revelation from is what I'm asking. And I'm going to look for a text that I sent you, and I'm going to try to find it.
Yes.
Where did you get that book of Jude? Talk to me about Jude a little bit, and where did you get the revelation of that?
While I was at Global River, I was serving as a senior associate pastor. I'll tell you how it first started. It was through an incident.
Okay.
First day on the job, I walked into the church, and I was on a staff with six other pastors. There was one particular pastor that we just didn't mesh. We didn't get along well. And I was at a worship night one night, and this another leader in the church comes to me, pulls me in his office, sits me down. Basically, he tries to get me to come against my senior leader because he has an offense with him. Now, I don't know he has an offense at the time, but he does. And he's trying to kind of turn me away from my senior leader by saying some things he didn't agree with. Well, I didn't know what to do. I was naive. I'm like, you know, it's my first day on the job as a pastor at a church. I'm going to serve. I'm going to be a shepherd, help people. And so I don't even know what to do with this. This guy leaves. Well, the other pastor told our senior, hey, such and such just went into Mike's office. So the senior pastor called me in his office and said, hey, did this other leader go into your office last night, have a conversation? And I said, well, yes. He said, tell me what it was. So I told him the truth. I told him all what happened. And I told him this guy was basically telling me that you're off in your leadership. And I didn't know what to do with that. And he said, pull up a seat, open up your Bible, and go to Numbers 16 and 17. He said, I'm going to teach you about Korah. He said, because it always
happens. The ground eats them.
That always happens in every leadership realm. He said, there is a spirit of division that comes, and it always targets not the senior leader, but someone close to the leader. And it tries to get them pulled away, to pull them away from the original leader and create division in the church. That was my introduction into the book of Jude and started me on that journey.
Oh, man. Let's give some practical steps of how we can learn from what we're seeing around us. Humility, humility, humility. Yeah. Good to Great by Jim Collins. Great leaders, number one sign of great CEOs as opposed to good CEOs, humility. Mm. It's a King David versus a King Saul. Yes. Both had anointings. One chose constant submission. Even after Bathsheba, he said, what have I done to you and me, God? Humility wins. And not if, but when we make mistakes.
Yes.
Because we will. They may not be as big of mistakes as, you know, having some platform where you say somebody's going to be president, which, by the way, I'd show some grace to these prophets too, because you may be doing nothing with your life. At least they're willing to go out there and step on the edge.
Boat. Yep.
And my gosh, Jeremiah Johnson's given so many accurate words. They're you lose count of them. He misses one word, everyone wants to stone him.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing. When you do drop a ball, what's small? A small one or a big one. How do you own it? What's the art of owning it? Great leaders own their stuff.
Yeah. I think it starts with acceptance. So you have to accept your mistake. You have to accept it. The second thing is, I think there's a confession part of it. There's a release. There's a confession part of it that you got to do it. And I think the third thing is you have to walk it out. So that's what I would say. I would say you have to accept it. You have to confess it and then walk it out.
I'll close with this over Christmas break. I guess I tracked some mud into the house. Wendy texted me. She said, did you step in mud? I said, mm-mm. I'm in the prayer room getting ready for a sermon. Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? I had to walk upstairs immediately. He's like, eh. Actually, no, I didn't. It's the next day I told her. You know what I did? I went to the restroom and took my shoe off. I took a pen to get the mud off my shoe. And that's when the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? So I was like, the next day I was like, or maybe that night, I can't remember. We're prone. Our flesh just doesn't like to take responsibility.
Absolutely.
I'll close with this. As a leader, may you choose humility. May you run away from isolation. May you choose accountability and community. And when you drop a ball, own it. Because you don't want to be the emperor with no clothes on.
We need fathers. We need mothers.
Yes, we do. Father, I thank you for our listening audience. I pray that we would have such a desire to get to a high place on yes. your mountain with clean hands and pure heart, pure hearts. Father, I thank you for these prophets that have owned it. I thank you for these prophets that have yes. gone low. And I ask that you reward them with your presence yes. and your favor and your connection in ways they couldn't even have gotten outside of this.
Thank you.
We love you. We pray for our country. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this country. I ask that you show off your own glory in this country. In ways that we've never even seen in our lives. And I bless the United States of America in the name of Jesus with prosperity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe Talk Show on YouTube and coachandjoe.com for epic merch, blogs, and ways to help keep us up and running. We'll see you next time on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast.